Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're preaching our way through the book of 1 Peter. We have entitled our overall series, Living Godly in a Godless Society. And we happen to fall on the text in verses 1 through 7 that deals with the marriage relationship. Let me read verses 1 through 7 to you, and then we're going to zero in just on verse 7 since we expounded verses 1 through 6 last week. Let's stand for the reading of this portion of God's Word. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and not afraid with any terror. Now here's the text we'll be camping on this morning. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You may be seated. One of the things I often do when Jan and I may be in like a restaurant waiting to be seated, and I take notice what little respect the man who's with the woman or the husband with his wife shows her as he comes bursting through the door ahead of her, walks on to his table. She's toddling, trying to catch up with a little infant in her arms and two little toddlers holding on. He goes over and sits down, lets her fend for herself, getting the children seated and then seated herself. And I often say to Jan, look at that. Absolutely no respect. And you see it also with young couples, whether they're married or not. In comes a man through the door, his wife or girlfriend tagging behind and showing her, and I'll say again, no respect. I also make it a point in speaking to certain wives at the gym or elsewhere, and I'll ask them, how often does your husband compliment you by telling you how pretty you are or how nice you look? In almost every instance, a wife will say, never, or hardly ever, or certainly not enough. Now, all this is symptomatic of one of the primary problems in the marriage relationship. The husband does not know his wife, does not understand his wife, does not honor his wife, or treat her with respect, and unfortunately, in some cases, could care less about the whole matter. Now, my initial response to this is when I watch these things, is like, well, they must have never have been taught by their parents on how to respect the wife or treat a woman. But then I said, I don't recall having been told by my parents how to show respect for a woman. They never sat down and said to me, look, you open a door for a lady and let her go in first. I don't remember them ever saying, now, look, when a woman comes into the room, you stand up, or when you greet them, you stand up. These were the norms of the society that I was raised in. That was just common. That was taught by the society itself. Now, in a sense, these things may seem to be small and unimportant to you men, but they are not small and unimportant to a woman. I have never had a woman fail to thank me for those small courtesies. In fact, Jan and I were coming out of a place when we were in Florida one time, and there was a lady there, and I opened the door for her, and she said, thank you, and then pretty soon she started to yell like this, I can't believe this! I can't believe this! Nobody does this anymore! Nobody holds the door open for a woman anymore! I can't believe this! Even the day of so-called women's liberation, women are pleased when we as men show them these courtesies. And I'm pleased to show them these courtesies. You honor them, and I feel honored in honoring them. But all of that has changed. One of the problems in our society today, it does not teach men to show respect for women. Now, you may have all kinds of reasons why that's so, but it is so. Much of this has been lost. Unfortunately, this is also true among believers in the Christian home. Husbands do not show the love and respect to the wives that God's Word says they are obligated to show and should be pleased to show their wife. And it's a reason for some of the tensions in the Christian home, and listen to me, the deep disappointment and hurt in the minds and hearts of many a godly wife. Now, in exhorting us to be about the business of living godly in a godless society, Peter has been emphasizing the concept of submission in the three major arenas of our life. Submission to civil authority in chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submission in the workplace, chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. And submission in the marriage relationship, chapter 3, and verses 1 through 7. We have looked at the directive given to the wife in the marriage relationship last week in verses 1 through 6. And the directive now given to the husband in the marriage relationship in verse 7. Since we will be considering only one verse, it may appear that Peter does not have much to say to the husband. But quite the contrary, our text bristles like a porcupine with conscience-stabbing directives to the husband. As I warned last week, I was soft and gentle with the wives, but maybe not so much with the husbands today. And those of you men who are not married, there's much that you can learn from this. Now, I do not mean to come off like an expert in the role of a husband. I certainly am not. What I've learned about my breathtakingly beautiful wife is the result of living with her for almost 47 glorious years. And I don't say that just to say that. They have been glorious years. Some of what is found in this text is new to me. In fact, I said to Jen, this takes my breath away. There's things I got to start working on. We want to first of all look at the substance of this directive in the first part of verse 7, and then the motivation for this directive in the second half of verse 7. Let's look then at the substance of this directive. The first thing we see, husbands must learn to understand his wife and respond accordingly. Look at the text. Husbands likewise dwell, and I want to focus on that for just a moment, with them, meaning the wives, with understanding. And the word dwell means abide with. It means more than living in the same house or sharing the same bed. It speaks of a deep, intimate relationship with the wife. The word also carries with it the idea of learning to feel at home with the wife. In a moment, you'll see why that is so important. One survey revealed that the average husband and wife spends, listen to this, 37 minutes a week talking together. Not a day, a week. And I blame most of that on the husbands. Without communication, the husband fails in his duty to dwell and feel at home with his wife. And the failure in learning to dwell with them often bears bitter fruit. The husband and wife, many marriages fall apart after the children grow up and leave the home. The husband and wife are left together, and they find themselves to be virtual strangers. Being empty nesters should be one of the best times in a marriage, but it often turns out to be the worst time. Having considered what it means for the husband to dwell in his wife, I want to consider the primary point of the text. Look at the text. Husbands likewise dwell with them, with wives, with understanding. Now, I like the King James translation better, according to knowledge. As you live with her, begin to feel at home with your wife, and you get to know her and understand her. One of the sure signs that a marriage relationship is in trouble, when I hear the husband say, "I just don't understand my wife." Well, you need to get your snoot down in verse 7 here and start looking at it and learn to understand your wife. Or they say, "Oh, I know my wife." But let me in on a little secret. As a pastor who has a way of getting inside information, I would say to many of you, you don't have a clue about your wife. You do not understand your wife. Some of you husbands don't have a clue about how your dear wife thinks or feels. You assume that she thinks, feels, and acts like you, and nothing could be further from the truth. I was 25 and Jan was 19 when we got married. At my age, having spent 4 years in the military, and at that time a year in the state police, you would think I'd gained some understanding about women. But there probably was never a more immature and stupid man than I was in the early years of our marriage. I sometimes look back on some of the things I said or did, and I almost blush with shame and say, "How could you be that stupid?" But with all that aside, I want to try to put a handle on what Peter means when he says that as husbands, we must dwell with our wives with understanding. First, I want to deal with it in broad and general terms. It means study her. Get to know how her mind works. Learn what her gifts are, her desires, her talents, her hopes, her dreams. What are her deep concerns? What are her fears? How to help her work through these things and the safety and security of your love for her. What does she need from you? Now, I did some brainstorming last week with Jan, my sister-in-law. I called a few women up on the phone and tried to get some input from them. And much of it was very enlightening. Women are fascinating creatures. I have often said that women are God's greatest creation. They are also one of God's most complex creations. They are vastly different from men. And I say, oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Therefore, one of the primary duties of the husband is get to know her as in many ways as possible. We need to ask the Lord for wisdom to understand as much about her as is possible. Then love her and honor her accordingly. As I said, women are amazing. That's why I can be married for almost 47 years and still find my wife fascinating and captivating. Her mind works in so many ways. The wise husband learns to recognize his wife for all of her talents and abilities and encourages her to develop them. When we bought a house up in the Poconos, it was a cabin. It was a weekend cabin. It was just a plain old cabin, but that's all we could afford. And Jan asked me, she said, "What do you think?" I said, "Nothing to me, it's just a cabin." And she says, "I'm shaking with excitement." I says, "Well, for what?" She says, "Because I can see what can be done with this." And it was amazing how, along with the carpenter, she was able to transform that cabin into a nice, restful, pleasant place to live. The same thing was true when we built the new house where we are now. We had to agree on the size simply because of the money. But I said to her, "Honey, you design this house the way you want to because I know the talent you have in that area." The wife knows things that we as husbands don't know. She may even know things that we should know, but we don't. Boy, have I learned that the hard way. I'm trying to put some molding, and I could not for the life of me know how to miter those joints. Every time I used the miter saw, I'd cut it the wrong way. I had a pile of molding laying on the floor that probably was good for firewood for the next year. And Jan would come along and say, "What's the matter?" I said, I don't know how to get these joints to miter together. She says, "Well, here's the way you do it." And I said, no, that's never going to work. And she says, "Try it." I said, "No, I'm not going to try it because that's wrong." She said, "Well, you got a pile of junk lying on the floor. Well, let's try this." I said, "All right." So I did it her way, and guess what? They mitered right together. So I've learned that, hey, she can see things that I can't. Now, I got this from somebody, from one of the commentators. I can't say this is fact, but it's interesting anyway. He did say, remember how Solomon spoke to his wife in the Song of Solomon? He says, your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. And you say, well, boy, that doesn't sound like a very romantic statement. Your wife, your temples are like a pomegranate. What the world does that mean? Then they said, if you open up a pomegranate, you find that it has many sections inside, little ones and big ones. He said, that's what the wife's mind is like, complex, with many sections, big and small. Now, the writer went on to say, this is backed up by modern science. We know that the brain contains two hemispheres, the left and the right. That's established. But then he went on to say, neuroscience tells us that women typically have a larger pathway between the hemispheres so that information flows more freely. To put it simply, most men have a footpath, most women have a superhighway. They are generally more verbal, more in touch with their emotions, and better at forming deep relationships. Men are better with nonverbal tasks. That's why we always hold the remote. But let's get more specific. What are some of the things that we need to understand about our wives in fulfilling the command to dwell with them with understanding? First, men, I want you to look at your wife from a biblical perspective. If every husband would remember what the Lord says about a godly wife, we would treat them with far more honor and respect. I want you to write these references down and meditate on them. I'm going to turn to them because we did that last week about with the wife. So I want you, first of all, go over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Verse 14 of chapter 19. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A virtuous wife is a gift from the Lord. Now, you know something? I know of no text of scripture that says that about a husband. It's probably true, and hopefully we are a gift to the wives. But nowhere do I ever find where a husband is said to be a gift of the Lord. Her value is immeasurable. Jump all the way over to chapter 31 of Proverbs. Her valuable is immeasurable. Look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Her value, she brings honor and glory to her husband as a crown does to a king. You don't have to turn to this, Proverbs 12:14. An excellent wife is a crown of her husband. Now, men, do not scoff, belittle, or treat lightly what God's word says about a godly wife. Letting God's assessment of your wife permeate your mind and heart will revolutionize your opinion of your wife. She is a gift from the Lord. She's more valuable than a carload of precious jewels. She brings you honor and glory as a crown does a king. She's also united with you as no other person can be. Remember, a husband and wife are said to be one flesh, the most intimate of all human relationships. Having looked at it from a biblical perspective, secondly, I want to look at it from what I've called a common sense perspective. Common sense to some, but not to most men. Number one. Tell her you love her and continue to tell her you love her. Tell her you love her and continually to tell her that over and over again. I can hear some of you saying, I don't need to tell my wife. I don't need to tell my wife that I love her. She knows I love her. Don't be wiser than God. We know God loves us. He's demonstrated his love for us by the cross, but he tells us over and over again that he loves us. Number two, go out of your way to let her know that she's the most important person in your life. Go out of your way to let her know that she's the most important person in your life. Except for your salvation and all of its attendant blessings, your wife is the greatest gift that God has given you. Never place your children or anyone else above your wife. Number three, seek her input on all matters that pertain to the marriage relationship and to the home. Seek input from her when things involving your marriage and things relating to the home. Let her know that her opinions are important. You may not always agree with her, but respect her opinions and sometimes agree to disagree. And I can't emphasize this one enough. Become the spiritual leader in your home and take more responsibility in raising and disciplining the children. Now, some of you have sat under my preaching for 20, 30 years. You've heard me say that over and over and over again. It's the word of God. It's demanded by the God. And yet you sit here and refuse to do so. How can you say you love God when you refuse to obey this important commandment? So many wives have this strong desire for their husbands to be the spiritual leader in our homes, but they're oblivious to it. God demands this as a husband, but you continue to refuse the command. You'll be held responsible for your neglect one day. God has called you to be the spiritual leader in your home. Raising the children, when you go into the scriptures like Ephesians and Colossians, the responsibility is laid on the shoulders of the husbands. But many of you have the idea, I put the bread and the beans on the table, let her take care of everything else. God have mercy on you, the way your kids turn out. Because they have no role model to follow as a father. You can see that's an area of my life that's very grievous to my soul. Some of you refuse to be the spiritual leader in your home. And it's one of the things your wife prays. I dare you this afternoon, go home this afternoon with your wife and ask her, is that one of the great areas in our marriage that you desire as much as anything else? I'll guarantee you she'll tell you yes. Let her know that she's still very attractive to you. Compliment her often. Most of you have very attractive wives. It's not that you're trying to puff her up and fill her with pride, but she needs to know. I'm a little older now, and I'm not quite the way I looked when we first got married. But he was attracted to me then. She needs to know you're still attracted to her. Let her know that. Be patient with her during those delicate times of the month. We don't always know what's going on. We just know there's tremendous hormonal change, and some women are more greatly affected by that than others. But we need to learn to be patient with her during those delicate times. Always let her enter a room ahead of you. This may seem like a small thing, but it means a lot to them. It shows for them that you respect them, and it shows others that you respect your wife. I remember Harvey Beebe saying this, and I've never forgotten it, and as he said it, tears came to his eyes, the impact it had upon him. He said, I never saw my father enter a room ahead of my mother. And he choked up. You could see the tremendous impact that had on him. How much more on the wife? And here's another one. spend time reading the scriptures together and praying together. The wife desires that. You are called to be a sanctifying effect in her life. Just as Christ's love for the church brings about the sanctification of the church, so the husband's love is to be a sanctifying, has a sanctifying influence upon the wife. And one of the things that you can do is sit down with her, read the scriptures together, and pray together. Again, wives desperately need this and they desire this. And my question, and Jan asked me this the other day, husbands, why do you stubbornly refuse to do this? And most husbands don't know, because I remember having a discipleship class years ago, and we were dealing with this very issue, and one of the men said, "You know, Tom, what's wrong with us?" He said, "You know, I don't mind sitting down reading the Bible with her, but then when she goes up to go to the bathroom, it says, I'm going to pray real fast before she gets back so I don't have to pray with her." He said, "What's the matter with us?" I said, "I don't know what's the matter with you, but that's not the way you help bring sanctification to your wife." Spend time talking with each other and working things out. Many times a wife will have things in her mind that she needs to talk to the husband about. Take time to sit and listen to her. She may reveal things that you're not aware of and are very important for you to know. Seek to define the kind of relationship where she is free to speak to you about any matter. Many wives are afraid to approach their husband on certain issues because they know he's going to go off. That shouldn't be. When a wife is afraid to be open and honest about a matter, then she is building walls in their relationship and not bridges. Let her share her struggles with you and try to help her through those struggles. Your wife should be your best friend. She needs to believe that you are her best friend. And therefore, you can come to each other and work and speak to each other and work some of these things out. Number 10, promise never to go to sleep mad at each other. We've made a promise to do this. We haven't always done it, but almost 99% of the time we have. And that's the scripture. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You see, when we're angry and we don't deal with the issue that makes us angry, the devil gets a foothold into our life that he doesn't normally have. And boy, does he raise havoc in a marriage relationship when husbands and wives are angry with each other and they don't deal with that. Never speak disparagingly of her in public or harshly criticize her in front of others. Always treat her with respect before the children. Show appropriate affection to her before the children. This makes them feel secure. If they see you hugging your wife, they may say, "Oh, look at that old mushy stuff. Ew, I hate that stuff." But they love that because it makes them feel secure. Mom loves dad, dad loves mom. Never deliberately withhold from her the physical aspect of your marriage except by mutual agreement, 1 Corinthians 7:1-5. Try to set aside time to spend alone with your wife. As one wife said, take us out on a date once in a while. Just you and the wife. Try to get alone with her. Take a weekend retreat somewhere so that you can spend time together. Husbands, we need to know our wives, what pleases them, what displeases them. We need to study our wives to know what we can about them. And as we learn more and more, to live with them accordingly. Look at the text, we see the second aspect of this directive. The husband is to hold his wife in high regard because of her vulnerability. The husband is to hold his wife in high regard because of her vulnerability. Look at verse 7. Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Now, this is the word that almost blew me out of the water. Chuck Swindoll, in his commentary, brought out something about this word, honor, that overwhelmed me. It's very similar to the word used to describe the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 1:19. For you were not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, with as of a lamb without spot or blemish. The precious blood of Christ. Honor your wife. They are very similar in meaning. And when I read that, I said to Jan, I got work to do to realize how much I should honor you, almost to the degree that we see the how precious the Lord Jesus Christ's blood is. This not only signifies something or someone that is a priceless treasure, but is also used for someone who occupies a highly exalted position in our lives. Husbands are to hold their wives in exalted esteem because they are a priceless treasure, but also because they are a fragile treasure. Look at the text. Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Now, the word vessel has many meanings, but one of the meanings is used of a priceless, fragile china. It was also used of sacred vessels in the temple for the worship of God. Someone said, every husband must be a knight in shining armor who treats his wife like a princess. The husband should treat his wife like an expensive, beautiful, fragile vase in which is a precious treasure. Now, don't you dare scoff at this, husbands. This is consistent with what the Lord said about a godly wife being a priceless gift. And when it says weaker vessel, when Peter calls the wife the weaker vessel, he's not referring to her moral character or her intellectual ability or her spiritual perception. It refers primarily to the difference in physical strength between men and women. Under normal circumstances, a man has much more muscle mass than a woman and therefore physically stronger. The other day I was over at the gym and I was speaking to a lady, and the guy that was training her, she was going into women's powerlifting event somewhere in Pennsylvania. So a few weeks later, I saw her. I says, hey, how'd you make out? She says, I set 3 state records in the 3 events, power, bench press, deadlift, and the squat. So I said, what'd you do in the bench press? She says, 136 pounds. Well, that was a state record for a woman, but that's a warm-up weight for most men. Now, I'm not saying to belittle her. That's just the way it is. A man has much more muscle mass. Even though a man is physically stronger in most ways, women, I believe, are stronger, in other words, bearing children. If men had to go through what women go through to bring a child in the world, the population of this world would have disappeared long ago. There wouldn't be a soul on the earth. I'm telling you, there wouldn't be a soul on the earth. You got to respect the woman when you see the hardship they go through in just carrying that baby and then bringing the pain and the agony of bringing that baby to birth. You have to say, Lord, have mercy. You have given those women extra strength in that area. And ladies, I got a high regard for you when it comes to that. But the fact remains that the wife is physically weaker in overall strength. The husband is to hold her in high esteem in light of this. Among other things, this means they are never to be physically or verbally mistreated. They need to be cared for, cherished, and protected. Peter reminds us of this because after getting married, many husbands forget to be kind, they forget to be gentlemanly, and start taking the wife for granted. He forgets that happiness in a home is made up many times by little things, including those small courtesies to your wife. I think I can speak for most wives in this place and probably for most women in this place. And I've in speaking to women who are not saved, they basically agree with this. They don't demand a lot. Now, there's some women who do, but most wives don't demand a lot. They don't want to go out and get diamonds and pearls. They don't go out and buy expensive clothes. Jan sometimes will call me up and say, look, I'm up at Salvation Army in Stroudsburg. There's a dress here for $2. Can I buy it? I said, yeah, well, go ahead. I've never had to worry about her going out and spending a lot of money. And if you were to ask every woman in this place, married or not, I believe they would all say that more than anything else, they want the man in their lives to love them, respect them, honor them, show kindness to them, be patient with them, take care of them, and when you're married with children, be the spiritual leader in the home. Now, husbands, I dare you to go home and ask your wife about that. See if you got the courage to do it. Wives, tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. And if he gets mad, you come and see me. I don't know why, but come and see me anyway. I don't know what I'm going to do about it, but you know. I'm 72. I don't want to get no fist fight with some big guy like Mike Schwartz. But remember this. Big resentments often grow out of small hurts. Husbands and wives need to be honest with each other, admit hurts, seek for forgiveness and healing. Giving honor to the wife does not mean just giving in to the wife. Giving honor means that the husband respects his wife's feelings, her thinking, and her desires. He may not agree with her ideas, but he respects them. Often God balances a marriage so that the husband's personality balances out the wife and vice versa. Now, Jim and I were pretty much on the same page in everything, and I hope Jim and my daughter Rhonda won't mind me saying this, but when they got married, when it come to money, they were like as far apart as they could. Jim could take a dollar and go around the world with it. Rhonda couldn't get out of town with it. But they balanced each other out over time. Warren Wiersbe said this, "The husband must be the thermostat, setting the emotional and spiritual temperature. The wife is often the thermometer, knowing him, letting him know what the temperature is. Both are necessary. The husband who is sensitive to his wife's feelings will not only make her happy, but will also grow himself, help his children live in a home that honors God." Thirdly, the husband is to consider her as equal in relationship to the Lord. Look at the latter part of its third part of verse 7. "And as being heirs together of the grace of life." Not only honor her as the weaker vessel, but honor her as being heirs together of the grace of life. They are joint heirs of salvation. Now, there's some disagreement among commentators as to the meaning of the phrase, the grace of life. Some have taken it to mean just physical life, but I think as I read it in the overall context of Peter, I think it indicates it's speaking of the grace of eternal life, being that both are saved. Remember that, husbands. In other words, the husbands and the wife are equal when it comes to salvation and all of its attendant blessings. Don't look down at your wife. Look at your wife in that perspective. Don't look at her as being on some level lower than you in the relationship to the Lord. In the Lord's eyes, you are equal. Treat her as an equal in that context. And lastly, you see the motivation behind this directive. Look at the latter part of verse 7, "that your prayers may not be hindered." That's a sober warning. That's a sober warning. This is the motivation for taking these words up with the utmost seriousness, "that your prayers be not hindered." And the word "hindered" is a military term for an army digging a trench on a road to stop the enemy's advance. It describes what Satan will do in your spiritual life. If husbands do not take this seriously, Satan will dig a trench and your prayers will never get through. To put it bluntly, you can't ignore your wife and get through to God. The Almighty takes the side of the weaker vessel. When we are truly one with each other, we are truly one with God. Now, this principle applies in a broader way to all of our relationships. If we harbor bitterness, or we are unkind, or we gossip about others, if we get angry and stay angry, our prayers will never get through the Lord. You cannot say to a brother and sister, I hate you, and say to the Lord, I love you. Those things don't work. Or to be more accurate, you can say those words, but you just lie to yourself. If your prayers seem dead, dull, and ineffective, maybe it's time to do a relationship inventory. God has wired us so that there's a direct connection between the horizontal relationship and the vertical. The way you treat others has a direct impact on how God responds to our prayers. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Honor them as the weaker vessel and heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. May God be pleased to challenge all of us, not only to treat our wives with that way, but to treat, as men, all women with great respect, to honor them and to show courtesies to them. This is the way God would have us live in this godless society. Let's stand, and I'll dismiss you since I've taken you way over in time. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning. Oh, God, help us as husbands and prospective husbands to learn to get to know the women that you bring into our life, to know them in the way that Peter has set forth before us this morning, to love them as Christ loves the church, to sacrifice for them, to be an example to our children, and what a godly father is and a godly husband is. We may be the only testimony they ever see of what a godly father is and a godly husband is. Dismiss us now, and may we think about these things. And if there's difficulties in the Christian home with those in this place, would you not begin to bring healing and mending of that home, and applying this whole text of Scripture, verses 1 through 7, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.